The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
Welcome to the show. It is Thursday. You're looking live at Tostitos Championship Plaza outside Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas, where it is a sunny. This is unbelievable.
It's a good day.
It's 65 degrees. The high is 69. The low is 41. And
He's Shannon, that's Nate, this is Kurt, in the back is Chris, I am Zaddy Holly. Together we make Hanging with the Boys, the sports talk equivalent of Braille. People,
feel us when we run through you.
When we speak. This segment is brought to you each and every day by Wingstop, where flavor gets its
wings. It's unbelievable weather. It's going to be 10. Yeah, I hit the button with my...
the third leg.
It's going to be 10 degrees on Monday. It's 70. It's going to be 70 degrees today.
Take advantage of it.
It's unbelievable.
Take advantage of it, baby.
How are y'all today?
I'm good.
Great.
Good?
Doing great.
Good. How's your energy, Jess?
Energy's good.
You back in there? I don't see a juice.
You know, I stopped to get a juice and they didn't have the one that I wanted. They didn't have what I wanted.
So you didn't want to waste it on a juice?
Yeah. You know, the one thing I would say about, and I wish I could keep this throughout the rest of the year, but it always just happens when I'm doing my fast, is like I am very, very, very selective with everything. Who I give my time to, who I'm around, who I talk to, because I don't have much energy. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very selective who I give my energy to. And so, like, even with the juice, I was like, you don't have what I want. What I want, the one that I want, but I don't want anything.
You get very self-centered.
No, I do get self focused. I do get a little grumpy,
hangry,
a little grumpy. I get a little grumpy. I get a little agitated. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So I got a question for you.
Yes.
So I fasted for the first time on purpose for like close to 24 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Just because I'm getting ready for Mexico. I was like, I'm gonna experiment a little bit and see if I can drop a little
shred.
Drop a little flab in the stomach area. But if I lose too much weight, my face sinks in and I look like something's wrong with me, right? So I was like, I'm try this experiment this next week. So I've been eating good actually the last 2 weeks and only splurging mainly on weekends. But you kind of get over the hangry part, don't you? You kind of deal with it. Like it's not
24 hours.
I mean, I was still a little hangry, but I could tell, like, if I kept doing this, like, I didn't really eat anything until lunch today.
Yeah.
Like, I drank a shake last night, which kind of broke it a little bit. But I could tell, like, but I didn't drink a lot of it. But I was like, you could probably get used to it,
It's the irritability, like, day two, three. Because you get the headaches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get the headaches.
The withdrawals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the headaches, and then you get the fatigue. And so you headache, fatigue. That's when the anger comes in.
Because, see, I was still able to go to the gym last night.
Right, yeah.
I wasn't as much energy, but I was like, you know, I couldn't tell a huge difference.
Right.
But then I wasn't as hungry.
Because 24 hours, your body still has so much stuff stored up that it's feeding off of.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
You get to 72 hours?
That's real deal.
Yeah.
You know if you're a man or not. Do you start questioning it on day two or three?
Every time. For 10 plus years. Like, why are you doing this again? Like, every single time.
It's like running a race. Like
every single time.
Like, I've never run a marathon, but I'm sure it's to say I ran a half marathon and like 1 mile, 2 miles left, I was like, why am I doing this? And then 3 days later, I was like, you know, when I finished, I was like, I'm never doing this ever again. And like 2 days later, I was like, man, you know what? I kind of think I want to go run another one. So. Yep. Yeah. How you doing, Nate? How's your fast going?
I'm going real fast to my food.
I'm about to say,
soup, tortilla soup? What they got today?
Some type of chicken soup.
Ooh, nice.
Hey, what is that thing, Coach McCarthy? What is that? How you pronounce it?
Take a shot at it.
Seize everything.
Yeah. Yes. How do you say, what's the word?
Now, this is where I'm going to ask your help, Kurt.
You've already, no, your turn. You asked us twice before the show. Your turn. Try.
I forgot.
Take a shot at it.
Kurt, help me.
That's, you got it.
You got it.
Carpe.
What?
Help me out, Jess. Help our brother.
Carpe Omnia.
You
like that now?
You're going to be doing it. You're going to be going over there with your boy after the show.
Yeah,
right?
you do yours already?
Yeah, you Carpe Omnia, baby. She's yes, sir.
What y'all doing after the show?
Seize them.
We're going to be on the we're doing the
Mike Irvin thing. They're going to let us be Mike Irvin for about a second or
two. Be on the Jumbotron during the game? Yeah, let's go. Represent.
I wanted to say seize the hanging with the boys, but.
should have let me and Kurt be like pop up from the bottom of the screen with posters that say hanging with the boys, tune in.
Oh, man, we got to go over there with that. We definitely got to go over there with that.
It did get,
Chris LeBoy to say, feel.
Just pop up and shrink back down. So how you doing today, Kurt?
Good.
You good?
Yeah. All right. Doing all right.
Just want to check on y'all today, make sure everybody's good, because I feel good about this game, man. Yeah. I feel too good. I feel a double-digit win, man. I just, looking at it and feeling it, I just, I feel good. So what should we be worried about on, what are we doing today?
Offense, their offense. Yes, sir. Their offense and our defense.
Am I wrong in thinking don't let them hang around? Put them away early.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can make some plays, right? They don't have a lot of playmakers, but they can make some plays. So, Jesse, who's a couple guys that we need to look out for?
I mean, of course, you start with, you know, Aaron Jones.
That'd be my
one. Aaron Jones, Jordan Love, the quarterback and the running back. But when I was doing some work this morning, I started to think to myself that maybe, just maybe, that we potentially could be overthinking the Aaron Jones success against the Cowboys.
Oh, he's feasted on them.
You're absolutely right.
Explain, please.
And here's why I think that. Because the great philosopher Fat Joe once said, yesterday's is not today's price. All right. Yeah, Socrates, Fat Joe, all the great
Chris, mark this, please, because if this comes true over the weekend, Jesse is going to backpat, and we need you to preempt that with this clip.
No, but you know, like I said, the great philosopher Fat Joe said, yesterday's price is not today's price. Mm-hmm. And every single time that Aaron Jones has gotten a chance to go off on the Cowboys, what was the common denominator? His quarterback was Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
His receivers were guys like Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. You plan different for Aaron Rodgers. You scheme different for Aaron Rodgers. These are the moments in time when you go, you know what? The boogeyman is no longer in town. We don't have to play the same way we once did. This is as well as Jordan Love has played in the last couple games, and nobody's talked about this. This is what, you know, Jordan Love has played in the last couple games. This is first year starting. He is not Aaron Rodgers. He does not pose and bring the same fear, knowledge, I would even say ability that Aaron Rodgers brings. Aaron Rodgers was a one-man wrecking crew a lot of times for the Cowboys. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Love is a scrub. I'm not saying that Jordan Love can't play. What I'm saying is he ain't Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers, he's the type of player that kept coaches up at night. When you had to face Aaron Rodgers, it was a thought process that you would wake up in cold sweats and thinking about, is that coverage going to work? And so a lot of times you would prefer to pay more guys in coverage and less bringing towards Aaron Rodgers in hopes that you were able to make him have to make a decision and then you're able to get home in that way. With Jordan Love, you don't have to do that. I don't believe Jordan Love has the mental. I'm not saying he's a dumb player, so don't take it that way. I'm saying that he just hasn't accumulated enough knowledge over time that Aaron Rodgers did when he was whooping on the Cowboys. Mm. That offensive line was different. They had guys like Bakhtiari. I mean, like under that, those teams, they had a pretty solid offensive line. They had probably one of the best offensive lines in the league.
Yeah.
That helped. Right? Again, Devontae, like the weapons that was around Aaron Jones helped him have success against the Cowboys. And I don't think that the Cowboys, and while I'm not saying that they're absolute run-stopping defense today, I would argue that this is probably the best equipped Cowboys defense, front four, front seven, however you want to say it, at containing the run than in those years prior. So I think there's a lot of things that factor into the point of, yes, Aaron Jones did those things then, but yesterday's price is not today's price. The one thing that when I'm watching film that just stuck out to me, and Nate, you can, if you saw this, you can speak more onto this, was their left tackle, Rashid Walker, 63. And the one thing I noticed about him was a lot in the Bears game. He has no anchor. Like he's not a nasty left tackle. I prefer my left tackles like I prefer my trailer park women.
And like I do.
No. But I like them filthy nasty. I like them nasty. I like them nasty when you got to question yourself when you're done. I like him nasty. He's not that. And when he takes on a bull rush down the middle of his chest, he doesn't anchor and stop. Like when you bull rush him, when you come at him in the like when you come at him and you get into his chest, there is no point in time when you see him just sit down and it stops. You see him kind of just put back, and you watch many a times the left tackle and the right tackle. It's closing in on Jordan. I mean, over and over and over. And you see Jordan Love, he's back there and he's fading away. He got the one-legged dirt going on and he's trying. And then in the run game, he's not a multiple effort left tackle. Like he's not trying to humiliate you. He'll get his initial block and then he'll go, huh, play's over. While the play's still going. And I couldn't take my eye off of it. Mm-hmm. I just kept looking at him over and over and over and over. Now, what they want to do and how they get Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, they're going to use their tight ends a lot. And if you watch in the passing game, their tight ends are chipping that left tackle's defensive end every single time. They're chipping. They're giving some help over there. Like, they're not releasing until they got a chance to go, all right, our left tackle. And that tells me that they're not confident in their left tackle. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stop thinking about Micah Parsons is going to abuse him because he doesn't have good balance. He doesn't anchor well. And when I say anchor, I mean when they get to that collision. And it's basically, can you put on your anti-lock brakes? Do you have enough power to sit down and then stop whatever that surge is coming towards you? He doesn't.
Hmm. All right.
He doesn't.
Good sign.
But what they like to do in the running game to get, and these are some of the runs that gets Aaron Jones, and more so Aaron Jones than AJ Dillon, the windback runs, right, is when you'll see they'll start left. And they'll start left and they'll leave the opposite defensive end free. So he's thinking, oh, okay, cool, I'm free, I'll go get the quarterback. But what they'll do is they'll use that tight end and he'll kind of just creep down the line, kind of like almost a kick out or a wham block. So you'll start left, and if you have the front side positioning, you'll take it. But you'll start left. That defensive end will either come up the field or freeze, and then now you'll kind of just wind it back towards the right. And at the same time, you're hoping that tight end is either has reached his inside shoulder to keep him running the loop, cut his legs out underneath him, or just flat out blocked him. And now they're winding it back, and you'll see them. And they do it both ways. They'll do it. They'll start right and wind back left. They'll start left and wind back right.
I would think they'd go after Parsons with that because you got D-Law on the other side. It's pretty solid. So.
Right. And that's the thing is that they do it both ways. They do it both ways, and in the running game, they'll have the tight ends. They'll help down on those tackles to make sure that they're really getting those blocks on those defensive ends. But I just – the more and more I watch this team offensively, and Jordan has a skill set that he hasn't honed in yet. Like, yes, he has a live arm. Yes, he has a powerful arm. Yes, he has the arm angles. But again, when Rodgers was at his peak, that's when you understood that he can throw the ball any place, anywhere, anytime, from any angle.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan has the ability and the potential. He just hasn't honed in on just when to do it. Because he throws a lot of passes sometimes where, I mean, he's probably had about 4 or 5 interceptions just flat out dropped. I mean, flat out dropped. And he'll take shots where you'll look and you'll go, Jordan, take the check down. Like, take the check down right there. It's a positive gain, but he forces it another way.
I didn't realize this. Last 8 games, 20 touchdowns, 1 interception, 269 yards a game, and 7 games with over 100 rating.
Yeah, the second half of the season, he's found his rhythm. But I'm looking at the overall what we can do to him.
Yeah.
What we can do to him from a pass rushing perspective, lining Micah up in the A gaps, running those stunts. Their offensive line is suspect. And I just think the way that Jordan Love is kind of loosey-goosey with the ball and his handling of the football and his throwing of the football, the way that they closed down on him in Chicago, I was like, oh, Micah might have 4 or 5 sacks in this game. No, I'm serious.
Really?
Like, I'm serious. He might have – I mean, it's easy to say he'll have 3. Like, I'm willing to put money that he may have 3.
Well, let's talk about their offensive line from someone that knows a thing or two about offensive lines when we come back. And, man, the football world looks a lot different today than it did yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talk about that real quick. And a couple of anniversaries when we come back.
Do you know what today is?
Fall is here, and that means football is back, bringing all the delicious game day foods with it. As you prep for all the big games, tailgates, and watch parties, let Yokiero be your one-stop destination for all things home gating. Yokiero's fresh, flavorful, ready-to-serve guacamole, made with real Hass avocados, will score taste bud touchdowns as you cheer on the Cowboys. Yokiero's wide range of mouth-watering and versatile products can be found in your local grocery store's produce or deli section. Grab some today.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com. to book your travel package today.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't really care fan, a we got them next time fan or we'll never win again fan, a here for the tailgate fan or a first one through the gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier too. So whether you're a here every week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection, and sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to the second segment of Hanging with the Boys, brought to you each and every day by Blockchain.com. Thank you, Blockchain.com. Before we get back into it, a couple of anniversaries today. This very day marks the 9th year of the catch in Green Bay. What a week for that to be the 9th year anniversary, huh? I was standing right there and watched it. I'm still not convinced they would have won that game.
Well, there's a lot of time left.
Yeah, a lot of time.
There's a lot of time left, and the ball only got to the 1 yard line, so they still actually had to go and score. Yeah, like, there's a lot of variables in that game that we don't talk about.
Yeah, but
like,
you know,
like Aaron Rodgers was doing what he wanted to you with one leg. And not the second one.
Changed the face of football, though. They changed the rule because of that play. Football looks a lot different, and it looks a lot different today than it did yesterday. Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, all out.
Yeah.
within 24 hours. Or
within 24 hours. That's crazy.
Who's the biggest, like, who do you think is the biggest, like, was like, whoa?
Saban.
I think Saban.
I would say Saban.
I would say Saban.
Saban,
as well.
But I don't think Saban's done, man. I think he's going to take a couple years off, go do TV, and then I just think he's going to. Either that or I think he's one of those guys that's just got to be.
I think he's done.
You think he's done?
Yeah.
Man.
I think he's done. I think Bill should be done.
Should be, probably, yeah.
What do you think about him going to a team that's stacked, that's ready to win, like the Chargers, where he just steps in for a year or two, goes and wins one, and then I'm done?
I think he's past his prime. Mm. I think Bill Belichick now...
Blasphemy.
..is... he is Phil Jackson of the New York Knicks. Big name, no more substance.
Mm. You think the game's evolved to where he's not...
Yeah, I don't think the Patriot way works with these young kids.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked when you had the veterans, right? And when your leader, Tom, was the, I mean, he
held it together.
He was the one that was like always like, all right, we're going to march to a different beat of a different drum. Like, Tom was always the one that kind of campaigned for it. And it always, but these young kids, like, he's 72 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's 72.
All
three of them are 70.
Yeah, all of them.
I think 70. The same thing with Nick. I think Nick's done. I think Nick looks up and he goes, I can't compete with this stuff anymore. Like,
maybe NILs.
The transfer portals.
Can you imagine following that dude up? Either one of those dudes, especially Saban at Alabama, trying to carry that torch. And another anniversary of birth. Happy birthday to Kay Clark, our most loyal listener. Clay. 24 years old today. Happy birthday, Kay.
We got a listener birthday, too.
Yeah?
Nelson?
John Nelson.
John Nelson.
Yes.
He's in England.
Oh, yeah. John Nelson. Isn't it John when we were over across the pond this year? Well, happy birthday, John. Well, Nate, what do you think about this offensive line they're facing? You agree with Jesse? They going to give it up?
They are virtually doing the same thing we're doing. They're trying to get a lead. And they're trying to unleash their defense. You know, they're trying to unleash Preston Smith, Clark, Walker, and those guys as pass rushers. So their offense is built that way. Last 3 weeks, Aaron Jones has enhanced this kid. This kid has thrown a lot of interceptions in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Matt LaFleur has done a great job of giving him throws that he can make, which he can make almost all of them from what I can see. He moves around now, gives his second and third receivers chances. They play much faster offensively than they do defensively. Defensively, they just tag along, hang in there, try to be in the right spot, feel the passing lanes. But on offense, they mix it up. They got three or four receivers. Look in there. They got at least four receivers, five with over 500 yards, and they got three.
With 200 yards.
Yeah, so they mix it up. I think the best receiver, you know, he's been on and off, about to come off of IR, but, you know, then miss a week. But they have it going on. When I look at them, they're young, they're energetic. They're not going to be scared because they don't know what they don't know.
Mm.
You know, it's going to be up to the Cowboys to
let them know.
Oh, to let them know. You know, I'm with Jesse. If we can start doing pressures, we have to score first. We have to score first. Not because I think, like last week, I didn't care whether we scored first or not. The Washington team was what? This team is a little bit different. They can hang in there. And they coach Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator. I don't know his name. What is his offensive coordinator's name? They do a good job. I think they do
Adam
a good
Stinovich.
Yeah, I think they do a good job of seeing what is happening to them. Now, they don't want to just throw it, you know, back to back to back to back. They want to give you a bunch of Aaron Jones. In these last three games, teams have been getting doses of Aaron Jones. 21 out of 34 total carries against the Panthers. 20 out of 39 carries against Minnesota. 22 out of 27 total yards against the Bears. This kid has caught fire. He, like Jesse said, he could do a whole lot more because they would used to give him series where John Wick would just eat you up with nothing but him. But now he is an enhancer for this kid. He keeps it balanced for this kid. You know, he knows his role. He still got good explosive speed. He's still a wiry dude that you think when you finna tackle him, you think you finna bring him down easily. He gonna hit up in there on you.
Will they try to use him and even A.J. Dillon more just to keep the Cowboys' offense off the field?
I would. Now, will it work? Will it work? Well, I'm just thinking that our defense is so focused now. They have about seen it all. After 3 years of regular seasons, ups and downs, playoffs, ups and downs, I think they have seen it all. And they can rally to most problems.
My only, if there's a concern, and I've had this concern for months, for weeks, when it comes to the Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon running, because I do think the Packers understand that they have to slow this game down.
They're out of it.
They can't. They cannot go up and down the field with the Cowboys. One, they don't have the firepower on offense to do so. Two, they don't have the studs on defense to stop it.
Right.
So their approach must be, hey, let's take our time. Let's make sure that we are, that we're staying ahead of the sticks. Because they know if we get into mandatory passing downs, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, when we know that they have to pass the ball, again, you got to deal with 11. And that's a lot to deal with all game long. Now, Jordan Love does have the ability to dance around the pocket and to move, and he can throw on the run. But even when he throws on the run, he gets himself in trouble. He does the things that you don't want a quarterback to do. He throws back, you know, back into the coverage. He'll throw things, you know, he'll lob it up there sometimes. He'll throw in a double coverage. So the coach and the offensive coordinator has to understand that we can't put him in that situation. Because if we do, then he's liable to do something that can cost us. Yeah. And for the first half of the season, he was doing those things, changed up a little bit in the second half. But the thing that worries me is the fact of the matter is that we are still, the Cowboys defensively, are still light in the middle. We're light. Like, Marquise Bell, great kid. Fantastic job doing what a coach asks you to do. But life is different when you're in playoff football. And they're going to look at that and going to say, that's where we're going. We want to see if 14 is going to be able to fill the gaps, if 14 is going to be able to run fit, if 14 is going to be able to do what he has to do for 4 quarters with 2 running backs that both bring a level of physicality that will wear you down.
Yeah.
The thing about them that you will see that they are in sync with the 49ers is they'll bring a tight end in motion. But then when they get set, they'll run both of them back in a versus the run.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll run tight ends in their run game. And so that'll make you – a lot of times when I'm making my read, I'm on this guard and I'm a tackle. I go in and that's just where they're coming because that guard will turn you right on in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that misdirection, now you have to read your keys and be very, very disciplined because, believe it or not, the few times I saw Aaron Jones, it was just right outside the tackle where that defensive end or that linebacker misread it. Me watching their defense, I was just like, I call like 4 people like, man, tell me, they just guys, you know, drop back in deep coverages and keep things in front of them. And they just guys and they'll make a play here and there. You know, even though they got a lot of guys with sacks, they just guys. But on offense, they kind of, because of all the passes, all the things, and these, like I said, these last 3 or 4 games, this kid ain't been missing.
Nope.
Now, Isaiah says, and I'm asking you, he says this kid kind of got a floater. But I'm like, he ain't missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he say, he still got a strong arm. He can do all that. But it's always an arc to it. I'm like, Like, to me, look pretty good. I mean, just your opinion.
Yeah, because the thing is, like I said before, he can't step into throws.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because I'm telling you, I'll show you. The pocket is consistently collapsing from the left and right tackle. Right. So everything that he's doing is all arm strength. It's I can get it there, but I'm not – I don't – his throw that he really drives in there are the ones that he's rolling out to the right. Are the ones are right in front of him, the shorter passes. That way, because he gets the ball, boom, it's out quick right now. But anything past 10 yards, that line just hasn't been able to hold up. And over time, the mental part from the quarterback is he starts to feel that pressure before it even happens, so he's already backing up. So he never gets a chance to fully step into his throws. Now, like I said, he has the arm strength to still get it there. And that's where that arch comes from. When you see a quarterback that has a lot of air, that means he's not being able to step in and drive the football. He's not being able to put that.
You got a lot of that anticipation
You know, behind it. But that's the part that gets him in trouble, because when you put that air, the guy's open, but he's open if you drive it. It's different when you put a little air under it, where now, because we're talking about the National Football League. We're not talking about high school to college. This is open in the national. This is wide open in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. If I beat you by this much, if I got you by that much, that's wide open. That's wide open in the National Football League. And a ball that's put on the money with the right amount of zip to it keeps you wide open. A ball that sails a little bit gives me recovery.
So does that give somebody that's got really good ball skills like De'Ron Bland, is that going to give him some opportunities in this game?
Yep.
Him putting that air under the ball?
Yep. For sure.
But the thing that's – and that's why I think they went into playoff mode, because they saw opportunity. About the last three or four games, they saw that opportunity. Man, you know what? We got a chance to beat three teams that we know we probably have a chance to beat, and we can get into the playoffs. So I think Coach started altering it, making sure that he mixed that run in there enough to give his offensive line a chance, you know, to perform. Because a lot of times – I've watched – y'all heard me say a lot of times, wow, they did not even try to run the ball. They did not even try to save their quarterback. Well, Green Bay don't feel that way. They're going to try to save their quarterback. So, you know, so
– what worries you more, their passing game or their running game?
It's just the score means a lot to me in this game. I want to score first, and I want to score often. I want to see what this kid can do when it's all on his shoulders, so we can really rush him. You know what I'm saying? I want to score and score often. I don't want them going back and forth with us, because now that brings Jones and the other kid into the game. I don't want them in the game. I want to take them out of the game.
Yeah, I would say for me it would be the running, and the reason why I say running, because I look at running if to equate it to basketball terms, the pass and how they want to pass are three pointers. Which means the percentage of you having success there is a little bit lower. While you may have some success, it's lower. The run game is a layup, right? Like a layup is 90%. If I get the guys blocked right, I can get 5 yards a clip.
Yeah. And that's what you this kid what is getting.
And that's the part that's the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get a run playoff than it is to get a 15, 20, 25-yard play down the field, right? The succession rate on those two plays differ from a three-pointer and a layup. I think the run game, if we don't – because, again, like I told you how I felt about the offensive line and how they do it, but our concern is that we are light. And that's – even the not-so-good, great, elite offensive lineman, still 320 pounds. Throw 310 pounds, throw 300 pounds, right? And if you're playing at this league, at this level, you are at least good enough to play here, right? Physics is physics. 300 pounds, 200 pounds, if I just get the right positioning on you, I win.
All right, let's talk about how light.
Is that physics? I don't know if that's physics or not.
Sounds like physics.
Sure, sounds
it's
like
not
science
chemistry or biology. So let's go with.
If a Mack truck hit a
Honda
wagon,
it's gonna move.
Yeah, let's talk about how light they are in the middle. We'll get some injury updates. Kurt, pull that latest injury report. I don't know if we have one today yet or not, but pull the one up from yesterday, and then we will talk Cowboys side of the ball when we come back on Hanging with the Boys.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
SeatGeek has your back, no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
James Wright here, your 2022 Dallas Cowboys fan of the year. You know how much I love my Cowboys, and I am thrilled to be talking to you about the 2023 Fan of the Year award presented by Captain Morgan. We're looking for the ultimate Cowboys fan to spice up the game. That means you eat, sleep, and breathe the Dallas Cowboys. If that's you, or if you know someone like me, then go to dallascowboys.com/fan of the year and you could win tickets to Super Bowl 58 and so much more. Enter today.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to the third segment of Hanging with the Boys, brought to you each and every day by Jigsaw, the official dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. And there's some familiar names on the sidelines of the Packers. Rich Bisacci, I didn't realize he was the assistant head coach there. We're in special teams coordinator. And Kyle Wilbur, remember that guy?
Oh.
Special teams quality control. So he's
okay.
Back with game. Rich. Okay. Yeah. So, interesting. You know what? They were previewing the Texans-Browns game. You know what I love about that game? It's two teams nobody thought were going to be in the playoffs. Maybe at the beginning of the year before the Browns season fell apart and then Joe Flo, but the last, you know, halfway through the season, nobody thought one of those teams is going to go to the divisional round.
Yeah.
Because they're playing each other. Yeah. So one of them's actually going to, you know.
The Texans.
You think?
I've become a huge CJ Stroud fan.
Have
I like
you?
That kid.
I like that kid.
Good year. Yeah. I like that kid.
I hope he advances.
Yeah.
Doesn't go through the sophomore slump. I hope he'd be fun to watch. It'd be fun to have a Texans Cowboys rivalry.
Texans Cowboys Super Bowl.
They play next year, don't they?
Do they? That would be awesome. Just because those two cities just don't like each other. Mm-mm. I don't know of another city that just doesn't like.
Well, I mean, there's always New York and Boston.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. But that's more of a sports rivalry. That's not. Do people from those cities actually hate people? Like, I don't like you.
I think so.
Like, because you live there.
Yeah.
Everybody in Philly.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, Philly versus everybody. All right, back to the show. Defensive side of the ball. Do we have an injury report?
Really the only one to worry about, it looks like, is Gilmore's shoulder. He did not practice yesterday.
He did early portion of practice today.
Yeah.
Okay. Had helmet and shoulder pads on, worked on the jugs machines. So, yeah.
So he's moving.
He's moving. He's good. I mean, hell, if his legs work, let's go.
I was going to say, it's a shoulder injury. How much does that limit him? Can he go 70, 80%?
Yeah, NFL got good drugs.
You can get that shoulder up a lot higher after you visit the training room.
Yeah.
What about, is Hankins good?
Yeah, he was limited yesterday with his ankle, but, I mean, he played last week, so he should be good to go.
How big of a difference? You've talked about
it
before.
He's big. Big, big.
Is Hankins.
No, he's just big.
He plays in this game. I know he's a big dude.
I
know he feels some space, but how big of a difference is he going to make in this game if he's able to go or not, Nate?
Marquise Bell's life depends on him and Clark.
That's true.
That's how big it is.
You sounded very Shaq-esque when you said that.
Yeah, that's true.
His life depends on it, huh?
Yeah.
So that's big.
That's big, man.
So we need him.
Every bit of it, man. Because I just believe
teams go back. This is where all the scouts come back mm-hmm. in. This is where all the coaches, mm-hmm. all the general manager, everybody was over there about tired of one another. It's late in the week because, look, at this is what I found. You get so much stuff, the coach has to start rejecting some yep. of it. You know, and in every major game has one thing in common with the Dallas Cowboys: running the ball. That has not changed over the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Teams will come in, and that is what – check this clip out, Coach. Check this clip out. When last time they seen this formation, da-da-da. Now, they ain't going to put all of that in because they can't change who they are.
Right.
You know, but they can put some wrinkles in. They can have – wait, what would you say, Jay? I never was around putting the offense – what – if you run on an average of 65 plays, what – amount of new plays, two new plays, or
no,
four new plays?
I would say 10. Yeah. You would have 10. You put 10 in there.
Do you practice those more
yeah.
than you do?
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Yeah,
you run because, them a couple
no, no,
of
no.
reps.
Because most coaches, especially, offensively, they have to see it successful in practice to call it in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if it's a wrinkle, if it's kind of something that's outside of their norm, they want to see it repped. They want to see it rep because they don't. Because if they, it's nah, we're not doing that. We're take it out. I've seen coaches like on the field like
spell it if offensive lineman can't get
yeah.
it.
That's
if
it.
Offensive
that's
lineman
it.
Can't
done.
Get it. It's
take it
over,
out,
bro.
Take it out. We're not running it. So, no, scrap it.
Yeah. When you say new play, is it like brand new? They just drew it up, or are you talking about this is a play that you maybe worked on in training camp September,
no.
and it's new to this brand game.
It's week new to four. It's yeah. new to this game.
So it's completely new.
It's specific to this game.
Yeah.
So they created it for this game.
Because they saw it.
They could have saw it somewhere else.
Somewhere else, then it worked against this team. Oh. They're like, oh.
Like the 49ers ran this, and this is they broke down here, so we're going
to. Because what they'll see, and they'll go, oh, that play, the way they ran that play looks very familiar to some of the things that we do.
Right.
Right? Or we have the personnel to do that. Because sometimes some plays you can't do. You're like, you know what? Yeah, we can't run that play. I know it looks sweet, but we ain't got Tyreek Hill. Right? So it won't work without a Tyreek Hill type player. But you can see something, you go, boy, I look just like our counter Trey.
Right.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
So Chris, you bragged earlier this season about I watch a lot of film. That's how I recognize all this stuff. Your job on Monday is if they run a play they don't normally run, you report back to us where they got that play from.
Good luck.
Okay.
Hey, all right, I like it. Challenge accepted.
All it's going to do is go down there and be like, hey, what play did you get?
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if you ask. I just want to know where they got it from.
Who's the who's the office quality controller? That's where he's going. Hey, what play was that? Where you got to get that from?
Where'd y'all get that?
Hey, all I got to say is if they ever run a flea flicker, our boy Nick Eatman will jump out of the press box. I guarantee you that.
Wow.
That is his play.
Oh, he wants them to?
His all-time play?
Oh, my God. He always wants them to run flea flickers, and they never do. He's like, you know what would be a good play right here? A flea flicker.
You know, we haven't seen many. Have we seen any trick plays this year?
No. No. Not even on special teams, right? No, actually, excuse me. We did have a fake punt. Yeah. Or no, field goal. And it was an extra point, remember? Yeah,
that should be the pod pick this week. Will there be a trick play? Yes or no?
Say no across that.
Define trick play though.
What does that say? Z-U-D? Why? What?
Zuddy. Zuddy? Zuddy?
It's not a sponsor, so you don't have to worry
about it. Oh, no, I'm just saying. It's
not like Zuddy?
Close.
Zuddy.
Yeah.
Close.
Like they got Jess all the way.
You guys
New
were talking
England.
About. You guys were talking about.
Yeah. Getting 72 at Zuddy.
Yeah, okay.
You guys early on were talking about the Houston Cleveland playoff game.
Yes.
Cleveland and Houston played 3 weeks ago. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Amari Cooper had 11 catches for 265 yards and two TDs.
That. Yeah, that's when he became.
And Cleveland won the game 36-20.
That's when he became.
So CD went to his coach and said, look at him, man.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Let's do what we do.
But, you know, last week it was impressive because CD, I believe, at one point had like 11 targets, 11 receptions. I mean, he was not dropping the ball last week. They were targeting him and he was catching them.
You know, just going around the playoff pitcher, man. You know who's maybe he's hurt or something ain't right, but you know Tariq ain't He dropping a lot of balls, man. A lot of, I'm talking about touchdown balls.
Drop one against us.
Man, I'm like, wow, Tariq.
It's going to be tough for them this week in Kansas City because it's going to be the highest seven. It
might be the coldest game ever, right? Coldest playoff game.
It looks like it could be the second coldest game in NFL history next week.
You know what? I challenge that. And I think Jesse, the way I'm going to put this, Jesse going to agree with me. When you playing in a cold game, you can't tell me that wasn't the coldest game. Wait, Chris, you've been in some games where you can't tell me you out there filming that wasn't the coldest game. I mean, like the Chicago game.
That was
the numbers don't always tell you, because I've been in some games where it's been 32 degrees, but the wind has been whipping at 42.
That's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. When that wind get the whipping,
yes.
And you start sweating,
man. If you can have, see, it's different. If you got 25 and it's calm,
right,
with a little bit of sun,
thank you.
You can work with that. Boy, but what is 25 and that wind is whipping?
No sun. Yeah.
That's why I think it feels so cold here is because there's always a breeze, whether it's summer or it's winter. The wind's always, if it's
the motion's
if
around
it's 30 around. Outside and it's not windy, it's not really that cold. But if it's 40 and the wind's blowing like it was 40 miles an hour earlier this week, it
the
feels
what's
cold
around
here.
Us?
What did he say?
What did you say? What the what's around us?
The ocean is around us. You know, on the coast. We're on the coast, rather. I'll put it like
that. We're not on the coast.
But I'm saying, no.
I mean, it is like, you know.
It comes
away,
out of that south, I'm telling you.
We are five and a half hours away.
Okay, all right. But now, it ain't coast funny. It ain't Trinity, funny when them coasts have hurricanes and all of that, and it's affecting us in a bad, in a terrible way.
I'm going to Google
I'm
that.
Telling you.
We don't get affected by hurricanes.
Okay. All right.
We get rain.
Yeah. We get
and it gets bad rain. We get people's houses flooded out. Ask South. Well, you know what? You're right. You up on the north, you may not get affected. Go down south. You will get affected.
Dallas is not because it lacks any navigable link to the sea.
That's what they say.
We're on a coastal.
That's what they
say. You know
say.
What? We're on a coastal plain. Dallas is in the coastal plain, so that's what you mean.
I don't care how you want to put it.
Yeah.
I don't care how you want to put it with that's the man stretch. Up above. Bring that heat. No, you put it how you want, but when that weather comes, we'll see.
Yes, Dallas is located in the coastal plains region of Texas. The coastal plains region of Texas includes cities such as Austin, Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio. Dallas is located on the border.
I know what I'm talking about when that weather comes.
North Central Plains. Most of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex lies inside the North Central Plains.
Don't tell Nate this because this afternoon we're going to be sitting at our desk. I'm going to look at my phone and there's going to be a picture of him at the water.
It's going to be He's going to the coast right now.
I'm going to Lake Rehoboth right now.
Told you. Right on the beach. Told you it's close. Only 5 hours later.
It's coming our way. I can feel it.
Well, wear your white tomorrow to work, fellas. White out. White out in the studio.
We'll do that.
Good seeing you.
I'm like, I thought I had said custard, so do we just.
I did too. I was like, "Wait, we missed another one." Jesse, good seeing you. Yes. Nate, good seeing you. Kurt,
good seeing
you. Chiming in, Chris. Thanks for keeping us on the air. Jazz, thanks for keeping him company. My man Josh, thanks for keeping us on the social channels. We will
Coastal
be back.
Plain. Thank
same
you.
Time,
coastal
same time, same tomorrow.
Coastal Plain, Jesse.
In our warm coastal confines city. On the coastal plain of Frisco, Texas. See you tomorrow.
It's the Coastal. We out.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?